Hey, but y'all made my night. Amen. I'm glad I'm here too.
I am.
Hey, praise the Lord. Luke chapter number 24. That's in the New Testament. Help some of y'all out. Luke chapter number 24. This is a resurrection chapter. And, it is by timeline on Resurrection Day, the first Sunday. Resurrection Day. Everybody good? We're going to start reading in verse number 13. And this is towards the end of that first resurrection day. And so this is towards the end of that. Very familiar story for all of us. But we want to take a look at it tonight. And I'm going to read the whole thing. Starting in verse number 13. I'm going to read down through verse number 35. And we'll take in a good bit of text, but we'll preach out of the last few verses, all right? Bible says, and behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Now, that's about 6 to 7 miles, all right? I need somebody to help me. It's a pretty good piece of walking, all right? Maybe from here to Clytville, give you an idea about how far they were from Jerusalem, all right? And the Bible says, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. Of course, what had happened? They had the crucifixion had taken place. 3 days had gone by. And now on this Sunday morning, they have gotten up. And they've gone to the tomb and Jesus wasn't there. All right. So as they walked, they were talking about these things that had happened. It came to pass that while they communed, I'm in verse number 15 together, and reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? All right. This is a verse that's in there for a reason. Jesus had acknowledged their state of mind, if you will, at this time through their conversation. Apparently, as they were talking, the way they were talking, their mannerisms and all of that had brought him to the conclusion, and of course, him all knowing anyhow, but it brought him to the point of calling them sad, all right? I want you to remember that, okay? Now, as we move on in Scripture, the Bible tells us, and the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Now, there's been a lot of debate as to who these two disciples were. We know that Cleopas was there, and I'm under the belief, and I really and truly believe that the other one was his wife. Others believe that it was him and somebody else, but, you know, he took them into his house, so I'm just going to go ahead. Is everybody all right with me assuming that it was a husband and a wife right here? All right? How many of y'all know that a lady can be a disciple too? We'll see. This ain't one of the 12, so we'll see that here in a little bit. All right. Now, verse number 19. By the way, they looked at Jesus, Cleopas did, and he said, man, where you been? What do you mean? What are we talking about? Where have you been? All right. Verse number 19. And he said unto them, what things? And they said, Jesus playing with them. Did y'all catch that? Like he didn't know what just went on. Like he didn't hang up on that cross. He didn't spend 3 days in the grave. He didn't just rise up that morning. I need somebody to help me. Have you ever felt like Jesus just plays with you sometimes? What things? That's what Jesus said. What things? As if he didn't know. And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests of our ruler and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. I want you to notice something about that. It was in the past tense. We trusted. All right. That it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. What they basically saying is this. We hoped that he was the Messiah. All right? Now we're starting to understand why they were sad. Because their hope has now, they're now hopeless. Is everybody, are you with me? They had trusted. They had had hope that he was the Messiah. But because of the circumstances, they just called him a prophet. Did anybody catch that? We've gone from the Messiah, the anointed one, the Son of God, to just a prophet. Because things didn't work out the way that they thought they should have. I need somebody to help me. I could stay right there and we could preach all night on that. Because he'll be God to us all day long until he doesn't meet our expectations. And then all of a sudden, he ain't, I need somebody to help me. Hey, all of a sudden, he ain't God enough. That's how we treat him. He's all God as long as he's meeting our expectations, he's all God. But when he doesn't meet our expectations, there's something wrong with him. No different with them. As long as he was meeting their expectations, they trusted, they hoped that he was the Messiah. But as soon as his death come about, the grave come about, and now he's missing. I mean, he's not in the grave. They don't know where he's at. People have said they seen him, but they hadn't seen him. And so now he's a prophet. Bible says, but we trusted that it had been him which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Once again, they said, hey, they ain't seen, but somebody said he's alive. They went there and they didn't see. Is everybody with me? So they're not convinced that he's alive right now. They've just heard some things. The Bible says, then he said unto them, O fools. I need somebody to stop. I'm going to tell you what. If Jesus was the pastor of a church and he walked in, I need somebody to help me. Y'all be so mad if I stood up here, y'all bunch of fools. Is everybody all right? Hey, and slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe. What he's saying there is, you fools, you lack understanding. And he says, and it's not because you don't have the knowledge or the opportunity to knowledge. It's because you're slow of heart. You believe what you want to believe. Oh, y'all got to hear me right here. He said, you're not understanding. That's what he meant by you're a fool. You ain't got any understanding. He said, but it's because your heart, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Goes on, he still hadn't revealed who he is, so they don't know that they're speaking with Jesus. Verse number 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded in them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. 7 miles of Jesus said, Genesis chapter number 1, in the beginning was me. Is everybody all right? And I created the heavens and the earth. Is everybody all right? Bible tells us in Colossians that it was by his hands everything was created. Bible says that we were created for his pleasure, by him, for his pleasure, the Bible says. And Jesus started off at the prophets and Moses, and all the prophets and just went and he said, that was me. Remember that ark that Noah built? That was a picture of me. I could go on, but I'm not. I can't. I got to get to where we're going. All right. So the Bible goes on. It says in verse number 28, and they drew nigh unto the village. Whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to them. That's some good stuff right there, all right? I ain't got time to preach all that, but we're going to be back around it, but I'm not going to preach on everything that I could right there. When they sat down to eat with him, he took the head of the table. I don't want to get on that. We'll be here too long. All right. Verse number 31. And their eyes were opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. As we look at this passage of scripture tonight, I had the thought that I've seen this over the last, we started this thing, I guess last March. So March before last. We got into the pandemic. I hate to talk about the pandemic, but if, you know, that's all you hear anymore. I went Monday to the doctor and I had a sinus infection. I got a sinus infection. So I go to the doctor and man, I get there and I have to wait 2.5 hours because there are 9 million people there just trying to see if they got COVID, hoping they got COVID. I don't know what's going on. So I had to wait 2.5 hours in the waiting room. I finally get back there and I won't talk about all the conversation that I had, but all of a sudden they wanted to test me for everything. Cause I mean, a sinus infection gotta be COVID, right? I mean, that's all that exists anymore is COVID. There's no flu. There's no sinus infection. There ain't no cold. There ain't nothing else. I mean, all that exists anymore is COVID. And they got to have you on a list that says you got COVID so they can get some money. So they're going to, is everybody all right? So they run 3 tests on me and they all come back negative. Doctor come in there thoroughly disappointed. Well, they all come back negative. Well, duh. I ain't got COVID. I can still smell. I can still taste. Well, this new strand, people aren't losing their smell and taste. Oh, okay. So let's just make up symptoms now. We did that the first time. Anyhow, I said, all right. She said, all right, we're just going to treat this like a sinus infection. I said, if y'all give me one of these pads, I'll just fill out what I need and I can go get it myself, all right? I really don't need you. I don't have to come in here and go through. Is everybody all right? And let me tell you something. That first lady, she stuck that thing up my nose and everything. She was nice. She was cool. That second lady, they come in there after they did it. They said, okay, we're just going to treat it like a sinus infection. She said, I'm going to give you a Z-Pack. I said, no, ma'am, Z-Pack don't work for me. She said, well, what you want me to give you? I said, I want some augment. That's what y'all always give me. She said, let me look on the computer. Oh yeah, I see. That's what we always give. Why am I here? Okay, I'll call you in some augment. All right. Thank you very much. And I'll leave now. Okay. So I'm good. No. We want to take another test. This is a more extensive test. See, these rapid tests that we did in here, they may miss something. So we want to do a more thorough test. And that's the one where they stuck it up onto my brain. Is somebody all right? I'm going to tell y'all, I about hit that woman. Is everybody all right? I about hit her. Stuck that thing up my nose. We'll have the results tomorrow. That night they called me up. They said, hey, good news. You're negative. I'm glad all 4 tests could confirm it. Is everybody all right? This thing's been going on now for a year and a half. And we're still being told how scary this is. Hey, listen, I know people are dying. People are dying of the flu too. The good thing is COVID's knocked out the flu. The flu doesn't exist anymore. So y'all can all rest easy on that. Okay. Now all we have to deal with is COVID. Okay. It's just, has all the symptoms of the flu. I just thought I'd throw that out there. But anyhow, we went through all this, been going through it for a year and a half. And I believe it's put the church in the same place as what these disciples were. Now listen to me now. The church has almost become hopeless. We got a fantastic crowd here tonight. But it ain't been like this for a while. Come on now, I need some people that's been here. Because it ain't been like this for a while. We've been slack on Wednesday night. It's been rough on Sunday mornings. I mean, when we started this pandemic, before we started this pandemic, we were running close to 400 every Sunday morning. 300 people was in this auditorium, and almost Melissa and them would have 75, 80 kids out there in children's church. Pandemic hit. We tried to adapt to it. We did services outside. We did services online. We did all this thing, but you could just watch the attendance drop. Next thing you know, man, we were running 60, 70. I told the staff, I said, man, we're just going to have to treat this like we're rebuilding the church, and we're going to have to go with it. We started back 100, 150 maybe on a Sunday, getting pretty close to about 200. We started bumping a little over 200 on Sunday morning, and then all of a sudden, a new variant. Is everybody all right? Let me tell you how I've been feeling. Is everybody okay? Their circumstances were depressing. What had gone on around these disciples was depressing. They'd watch what they had hoped was going to be a new beginning. They'd watch him die on the cross. Their circumstances were depressing. How many of you know the last year and a half, circumstances have been depressing? I'm just saying that's where we're at as a church. Their expectations were crushed. Now, that may not be for you because you may not expect anything more than just come here and get a word from the Lord. And I pray that I've done that and been faithful to give you that the whole time during this pandemic. But my expectations have been crushed. Man, I'd hoped that things were going to level out and the church was going to get back to where it was. I'd hoped that people were going to stay faithful, but there's a many of people that hadn't even been back for a year and a half because they worried about catching COVID in the church. Because church is the only place you can catch COVID. You can't catch it at the ball field. You can't catch it at Walmart. Is everybody all right? Can't catch it in a restaurant because you sit down in a restaurant and it's okay. You can put your mask on, but once you sit down, you take your mask off because the virus don't spread when you're on your butt. Is everybody all right? We go into Walmart. We go into Walmart with 9 million undocumented people in Lake Park. Is everybody all right? But hey, it's okay because ain't none of them got COVID, but we can't come to church. It's weird. Weird how that works. My hopes have been crushed. Everybody okay? Hey, their future was uncertain. Future was uncertain. I'd like to believe that we're just going to bounce back from this and everything's up. But you know what? I've learned with our present government that they got to keep chaos in some form, some way. So is future going to, what's the future? What's going to happen? We ever going to be over this? Oh, well, if everybody gets a vaccine, everybody be over it, but people that's getting a vaccine still getting COVID. So are we really going to be over it if we all get the vaccine? Are we really going to be over it if we all hate each other because you got the vaccine and she didn't get the vaccine or he didn't get the vaccine and they got the vaccine? All we're doing is dividing the country more and more. Hope. Hey, I need somebody to help me. If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But the future looks very uncertain from where I'm at right now. I mean, I think I can identify. I think the church can identify with them. Their circumstances were depressing. Their expectations were crushed and their future was uncertain. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't know what would become of him. And that's where the church is at today. And it's caused us to get lackadaisical. I need somebody to help me. I'm seeing it in the church. We got COVID going on, so we're going to just drop our responsibilities. Is everybody all right? Now, if Jesus can call him a fool, I can get on to y'all for a minute. Is everybody all right? We got teachers that won't show up. They show up right before class starts, unprepared. People doing ministry unprepared. Because we might get the COVID if we get there early. I need somebody to help me. If we do our job and do on time, we might. And we're walking around kicking rocks instead of getting involved. I need some, y'all gotta help me now. I don't want to be that. I even in the midst of it, even though the future may be uncertain, and even though things are not going as I had hoped, and even though the circumstances around me are depressing, I still have to go forward. Because there's still people, y'all help me now. There's still people that are going to die and go to hell if the church doesn't reach them. And I might have to reach them with a mask on. I might have to reach them some other way, but they got to be reached. And they're not going to be reached if the church don't care about coming and meeting with the Lord. If we're going to let our circumstance, everything around us, hey, ain't nothing else in our life stop. We ain't got no fervor for the church, but bless God, we're going to run to a ball game. We'll get a speeding ticket trying to get our kid there where they can start a football game or a basketball game or a baseball game. Oh, I need... I'm having fun. Visitors, y'all just bear with me. Man, if the job calls up, I sent out a devotion this morning. It's amazing to me, Brother Trent, but in the Bible, Jesus called the disciples. When he called the disciples, they forsook all that they had and they followed after him. You know, them boys own businesses. They left them. Jesus said, hey, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, what about my fishing business? I didn't even question it. They just left. And the church is trying to balance now how I'm going to keep in my industry and do a little bit please the Lord. I'll move on. Here they are. I think the church can identify. Getting lackadaisical. We're just going through the motions. Well, we got a pandemic going on, so let's just chill out. We've been chilled out for a year and a half. How many people do you think's died? Oh, you can quote me and tell me everybody that's died from COVID. Oh, there's been 9,475,000 cases of COVID. Is everybody all right? Out of that percentage, out of that number, how many of you think went to hell? While the church is going through the motions. You reckon Jesus is up there going, hey, there's a pandemic. Y'all take it easy. Hey, people are dying, but hey, y'all be careful. That's where we're at. We're kicking rocks like they are. Walking down the road. I wish it was better. Wish things was better. How do we get them better? That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I had to get on to you a minute, but I want to talk about how do we get them better. Because I don't want to leave you there in the dumps. I want you to go with me. I want us to move forward. Let's get a game plan. Let's do something. How do we do that? Well, I think we can find it out right here. The Bible says in verse number 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scriptures. How am I going to get that fire back? How am I going to get motivated? Maybe that's just a word. Maybe I don't need to expect fire from anybody. Maybe we just need to be motivated. How am I going to get motivated? Number one, a renewal of their passion. Well, how did I get a renewal of their passion? I'm glad you asked. It came from a private confession. See, Jesus come up on them, and it was just the two of them. And he says, what's going on? And they told him everything that was going on. A private confession. Wasn't nobody else around. It was just him and them. Can I say this? Church needs to repent. Church needs to repent. I'm going to go over here and say it on this side. The church needs to repent because we have not been effective during the pandemic whatsoever. People are dying scared. Hey, they're scared they're going to die. And the church ain't seen no uprising conversions. People ain't getting saved left and right, and everybody's worried about dying. Church needs to repent. We got our priorities in the wrong place, our eyes in the wrong place, our focus on the wrong place. We need to repent. And can I say this? We need to let Jesus, I need somebody to help me. Jesus, we need to let him reproach and rebuke us some. Oh, fools, slow of heart to believe. All that the prophet, let me reword that just a little bit. All that the scripture saith. That's what he was saying to him. Came from a private confession. We need to confess. We need to get right. We need to repent. Number two, how am I going to renew? This renewal of their passion came from a private confession, but it came from private communion. Oh, I need somebody. They went inside. He would have gone on. They said, no, please don't leave us. I'm going to go over here. He would have went forward. He would have kept going, the Bible said. And they said, hey, wait a minute. You got to stay. Hey, I don't want you to leave yet. Stick around and sup with me. Is that not what the Bible says? The Bible says in verse number 28, and they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him. You know what that means? Don't go! I got somewhere else. Don't go. Bible says they constrained him. It came from private communion. Church needs to confess, and the church needs to get a better relationship with the Lord. A desire. Man, they had a desire. They wanted him more than they wanted anything else. Renewal of their passion came from a private confession, came from a private communion, and came from private communication. He revealed himself. He revealed himself, the Bible says, through scripture. We got too many people trying to figure out who God is, and they won't get in the word. We think we know that all there is to know. I need somebody to help me. These weren't disciples. Understand this. These weren't people. These weren't strangers. These were disciples. These were people that had sat under his teaching. And yet, he took the Bible and he revealed himself to them in all the scripture. Listen, I need somebody to hear me right now. You don't know all there is to know about the Bible. So every single day, we ought to have our face in it. Because it's here where he reveals himself. And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them the scriptures about himself. Man, Jesus is, hey, listen to me. He wants to have a relationship with us, and he's given us a way to know him better, and we won't even take advantage of it. We got all kind of sin built up in our life. We've allowed. Is everybody all right? We're like that stream. Y'all remember me talking about that the keeper of the stream? Y'all remember me talking about him? If you didn't, let me tell you a little bit about him. It was a keeper of a stream, and a stream run down a mountain down to a town, and they had this guy that they paid up there. He was called the keeper of the stream. They were looking at how they could cut money back, and they figured out a way. They didn't know who this guy was. It had been so many years. So they said, you know what? We won't send him any more checks. So they stopped sending him checks, so he stopped keeping the stream clean. Before you know it, they didn't have any water down in the town. It got nasty. What was coming down there? Why? Because debris had built up in the stream, and it wasn't being cleaned out. See, you might not always see what's going on, but there's things that are going on in your life. And if you allow them to block that flowing water, I need somebody to help me. Before long, you become stagnant. We need some time in our life where we spend some time cleaning the stream out so we can get the flow, that living water flowing like it should. How do we do that? Through confession. It's a private confession, private communion. How do we do that? You got to talk to him in prayer. Private communication. We got to hear him. We got to learn about him. Scripture. The only way, I don't know what you're looking for. We're trying to get the easy way. How can I be more passionate? You can't be more passionate if you ain't going to get to know him any better. I love my wife. I met her when I was in high school. I started dating her before I became a senior. We dated my entire senior year, got married as soon as I graduated. I'm going to tell you something. I know more about that woman than you will ever know. I'll go over here. I know more about that woman than you'll ever know. Why? Because that relationship has been ongoing and I've learned more and more about her. If I treated my wife the way you and I treat Christ, I wonder if me and her would even be married. If I didn't get to know my wife, if my relationship never matured and we were still like I was when I was 18 years old, somebody say it, and Michelle said, God help. She just said that. God help. Got to share my testimony in the gym again this morning. I didn't get saved when I was 18. I wasn't saved when I got married. That's why my wife just said, God help. Don't want to go back to that place. Is everybody with me? But yet we treat our relationship with Christ. We call it the most important day of our life when we got saved, and yet we won't even get to know him. The one who saved us. Oh, my wife saved me. Your wife ain't saved you. I need somebody to help me. Oh, my husband saved. Your husband ain't saved you. Oh, my mama saved. Your mama ain't saved you. Jesus saved you. You're going to sit there and say he's a hope and he's what you're looking forward to go. Some of y'all are going to get there and won't even know who he is. Oh, I need somebody to help me. Somebody going to get to heaven like, what we doing? Because you don't even know who he is. Because you don't have a relationship with him. You're just like these disciples on the road to Emmaus whose eyes were holding and they did not know who he was, and he was right in front of them the whole time. Got to renew our passion. There ain't no easy way to do that. We got to get sin out of our life. We got to pray. We got to read our Bible. As simple as that. We're looking for some new program, new way to do this. There's no other way. I noticed a renewal of their passion. I noticed a reunion of fellowship. A reunion of fellowship. The Bible says this. I got in a hurry. And the Bible says this. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They said, oh, didn't our heart burn within us? And what did they do? They said, hey, we got to go and tell the other disciples. Hey, man, we just walked 7 miles home. We fixing to walk 7 miles back to Jerusalem. Why? Because the brethren need to hear what's going on in our lives. They didn't have, hey, I need somebody to help me. They weren't worried. They weren't going around saying, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to church Sunday.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it to church on Wednesday night, preacher. I just don't know. The Bible says they'd walk 7 miles with Jesus. They'd ate supper. I need somebody to help me. You walk 7 miles, eat supper, you going to sleep. The Bible says they rose up and said, whoop, we got to go back to Jerusalem. 7 miles back? Yeah, we do it in the morning. Mm-mm. We're doing it right now. But it's dark outside. I don't care. It's cold outside. I don't care. It's raining. I don't care. They rose up and went back. Why? Because they need one another. Y'all, come on, help me. Man, we ain't gonna get through this thing if we don't lean on each other. I need somebody to help me. You gonna go listen to the news? You won't never come back to church. You listen to our president, you won't walk outside. If you smoke, I need somebody to help me. We need each other. The very thing that's going to get us through all this is the very thing that's being forsaken by the church. And that's the fellowship of the brethren. They said, hey, this is good. It was good confessing what was wrong with us and what we were going through. It was good letting it off of our chest. It was good talking with him. It was good listening to him talk. We got to go back and tell everybody else what he's done for us. So they did. They desired to go back to the brethren. And their departure was immediate. Their desire was to be with the brethren and their departure was immediate. We gotta go. We gotta go right now. I gotta get to number three. Is everybody ready? Man, I wish we had a 4-hour church service. Cause I ain't preached near what I could preach out of this passage of scripture. But I want you to listen to this. I had a rehearsal of their experience. We had a renewal of their passion, a reunion of fellowship. Number three, a rehearsal of their experience. I want you to notice with me, they rehearsed it privately. The Bible says in verse number 32, and they said one to another. They rehearsed it privately. Husband and wife, baby. They sat there at the table and they said, man, wasn't it good? Man, wasn't it good? Boy, didn't our hearts burn within us, man? Wasn't it good? It was a private. It was a private. It was a private rehearsal. Wasn't it good? But then I want you to notice there was a public rehearsal too. The Bible says this, and they told all, or they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. That was to the 11. That was to all the other disciples. So it was a private rehearsal, but it was also a public rehearsal. You know what? There's some people, listen to me. There's some people that need to hear your story. I'm done. Only because I've run out of time. But people in your house, Brother Josh, your youngins need to hear about how good God is. I need somebody to help me. Miss Melissa, your youngins need to hear about how good God is. Depressing times. Miss Melissa lost her job. But God's doing some things. What are you saying? Kids need to know. I need somebody to help me. My kids, your kids, they need to know. Hey, God's still good. That to me is private rehearsal. A mom and a dad ought to be steadily telling their youngins about how good God is. Even though the world looks bleak, it is good around our house. Why? Because we serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that's interested in us. We serve a God who loves us. It ought not be just private. It ought to be public. And when we come to church, we shouldn't be sitting around waiting on the preacher to say, y'all raise your hands. Y'all say amen. Amen. Y'all say glory. Glory. Y'all say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody ought to be standing up and shouting, God's good. He's been good to me. I got saved September 28, 1997. God's been good to me. My wife, I just said, man, if they wasn't a better, I said, man, we go back to 18. My wife said, oh, God, no. That ain't a testimony of how far God has brought us. I need somebody to help me. God's good. We scared to death. Tell somebody about it. People are running around scared to death. They don't know what's going to happen. Afraid they're going to die of COVID and everything else. Running out and getting shots that are unapproved and running out and doing all that. You can stick anything in me. Just keep me from dying. I don't care what it is. Keep me from dying. Lady said, hey, if you got COVID, we're going to send you in there for an infusion. You know anything about the infusion? I said, no, I don't know anything about the infusion. She said, well, the infusion is basically, it's like the vaccine. It's got the antibodies, but it's all synthetic and they're going to throw it in you. How about you just give me some of that good horse wormer? I'll take some of that ivermectin and go on to the house, all right? How about we stop sticking stuff in me? Oh, I need somebody to help me. Church running around here telling everybody, trust God, trust God, trust God. God's faithful. God's true. Trust God. Have faith. As soon as the pandemic comes up, stay in your house. Don't come out. Don't come to church. What's the church look like? Bunch of hypocrites. Amen. Meanwhile, when we do show up to church, we're going to come in kicking rocks like it's the end of the world. Man, I want my heart to burn again. I want the church to be on fire again. I remember when we used to put signs out there that said, come see, come watch our pastor burn. I can't even remember what they put. Our pastor's on fire. Come and watch him burn. Our church is on fire. Come and watch it burn. And now we're Facebook Live only services. Join us on Facebook Live, no in-house services. And people are running around, I'm dying. I'm going to die. Well, at least you got the vaccine. Is everybody all right? Don't worry about them going to hell. But I wonder how many people is going to church because they needed something. Scared to death, need to hear something from the Lord, pulled up to the church and the doors are locked. Facebook Live, I ain't got Facebook. Some of y'all might have Facebook, but what if they don't? Why is the doors locked on the church? Is everybody all right? Hey, don't get mad at me. If you don't agree with what I preach tonight, it's all right. You can be wrong. I have no problem with that. I'm not one of them people that you have to agree with my opinion. I promise you. I don't mind you being wrong one bit. We can agree to disagree. What are we going to do, y'all? What are we going to do? People are dying and going to hell. Visitors are coming to the church looking for something, and we're walking around here, can't even do what we say we're called to do. No passion in it. God help us. The church needs to repent. Dalton, come to the piano because I'm 10 minutes over. You got to play fast, son, because they got to pray fast. Give you an opportunity. Find your way around the altar tonight. Don't get mad about where you're at. Don't get mad about what I preached. Take a look at yourself and say, where am I at, Lord? I have the same passion that I've always had. God, have I let this thing affect me to the point that I'm walking around sad? Heads bowed with me. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. God, I thank you for this church. This church has been a staple of Lake Park for quite some time, but God, we've seen you do some amazing things at this church in the last 10 years. Lord, that's all that I can speak to. I wasn't here before. But God, I can look back for the last 10 years and God, I can see you work in this church. I can see the church grow. See what you did here. Getting us out of financial trouble. All the things that you did. God, we can look back in Scripture and see all through Scripture, but God, we can look back in our own lives and see how you've operated and how you've worked. God, may we rehearse it to our children. May we rehearse it to others. Tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed with me. Maybe tonight somebody's come into this church and you're looking for something. Maybe you'd be honest with the preacher and say this, "Preacher, if I was to die tonight, I do not know where I'd spend eternity. I do not know if I'd go to heaven. I do not know if I'd go to hell. Preacher, I don't know. I have doubts." That's you tonight. Nobody's looking around. Please help me out. Nobody's looking around. But if that's you tonight, say, "Preacher, I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I was to die." I want you to do me a favor and just lift your hand right up so I know how to end the service. Is there anybody in here? So, "Preacher, I do not know." Okay, you can put your hand down. Thank you. Trent, come help me. Thank you. You can put your hand down. Trent, right here. Is there anybody else? "Preacher, I don't know." Let me ask you something. If you raise your hand, I want to help you. If you'll let me help you tonight, I want you to stand up right where you're at and come to me. I'll get you some help. You can leave knowing where you spend eternity if you was to die. It's up to you. It's your choice. But if you'll do that, we'll be happy to help you. Trent, pray with him. Find out. Talk to him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, hearts are heavy. Lord, as I prepared for the message, that was on my mind. Hearts were heavy. Circumstances are difficult. Expectations have been crushed. Future's uncertain. Hearts are heavy. Slow to believe. God, our hearts. Lord, I desire for our church that our hearts would burn once again for you. Lord, I pray that you'd do a work that only you can do. But Lord, I pray it be with willing individuals. God, you can't do the work if we're not willing. If we don't have a desire to do any better, then God, it's just going to be the way it's always been. The way it's been for the last year and a half. We've slowly allowed ourselves to get more and more lackadaisical. Farther and farther away from you. God, help us. Help us to realize, Lord, that there's a world out there that's lost and on their way to hell. And if we do not have a passion to get the gospel out, there's going to be more, regardless, there's going to be more people that are going to die and go to hell than die from COVID. God, help us to do our part to burn again for you. Desire the fellowship of the brethren and to rehearse, God, the good things that you've done in our lives. Lord, we love you tonight and thank you, Lord, for wonderful church service. I pray that you'd bless us as we go our separate ways. God, I pray that our hearts would burn for you. In Jesus' name we pray.